And I'd like to thank again everyone that's read, helped with open the meeting, and take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. You welcome to any visitors, and an even bigger welcome to any newcomers that might be with us tonight. I hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So like I said, we do have a speaker tonight, and this is our 11th anniversary meeting. And I'm delighted to say that this individual's agreed to share for us tonight. What can I say? I actually met this lady in the spring before this meeting was even existed, in Florida at a service event. And actually, I was thinking about it and realized that it was the result of some of the conversations I had with some of the people that I met at that service event that led to the creation of this group. There was some, you know, stuff going on in service where I was at, and there was a need for some change, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So yeah, in a funny kind of way, but I was in America in Florida for the first time ever. I felt like a stranger in a strange land, and I was invited to come and share lunch with this lady and some of her friends, and the welcome and the love that I felt as a result of that was kind of an important moment for me, you know, because I did feel like a bit of a stranger in a strange land. Since then, I think we've become friends. We don't talk as often as I would like sometimes, but I have to tell you that just knowing that this person is in the universe, and her spirit is there, and what she is and who she is, and the role that she's played in part in my recovery and supporting me in different ways, is really important to me. We celebrated a major milestone of recovery early this year. I'll leave her to share that should she choose to. She's going to share for 40 or 45 minutes for us. Experience and some hope. So Dawn, over to you. Please, the floor is yours. Please share with us. Thank you and welcome. Hello, Dawn.
Okay, here I am. I'm, you know, not technologically savvy. So, hi everybody. My name's Dawn and I'm an addict.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Good to see you.
I was just thinking about you, Jim. I was thinking about you last week. I say, man, I have to go to that meeting. I heard Jim see what's going on with his music and his life and his health. So I'm very honored and privileged to be here. Thank you for asking me, Steve. You know, sometimes in life, and I think it really does have to do with the fellowship. Can you hear me? Hello?
Someone's mic was open.
Oh, okay, sorry. So, I think that because we all have something in common, which is we have the disease of addiction. And then we have the process of recovery from addiction, and that because of our fellowship, we meet people, and some of those people, there's a very instant connection. Steve happens to be one of those people that, yes, we don't talk so much as we used to. However, I know that I could call him any time of the day or night if I needed to, and he would be there. And he doesn't take it personal, which is important to me. Oh my gosh, 11 years, holy moly, a lot of stuff happens in 11 years. Congratulations on the milestone for this meeting, number one, because there was a time in my life that this meeting in particular was my lifeline. And I was talking to somebody else this morning, May I celebrated 40 years, which I don't know how that happened. I don't know when it happened. I mean, because, you know, in my mind, I still think I'm 25 years old. my body, on the other hand, has a very different story. You know, we all have a story. It's all the same. The circumstances might be different, but it's definitely the same. You know, I have been in recovery 3/4 of my life. So it's very, you know, sometimes it's very far removed to talk about active using. However, when I stopped using, it doesn't mean that my disease didn't continue. Because food, credit cards, shoes, people, places, things, you know, for a long time in my early recovery, I was trying to fill this void inside of me. You know, there's probably some things that I need to say to identify, which is, one, I have been in jails, institutions, I've been clinically dead twice. All the things that our literature talks about, yeah, check, 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 I've done it. Been there, done it, got the t-shirts. But this is the thing that really happened, was is that in a blackout, I tried to kill my brother. The next morning, I went to a meeting, which was May 20th of 1982, and I never looked back. No, I'm not one of those one-time whiz kids. You know, I've been trying to get clean since 1976 when the judge ordered me or my mother got into AA or whatever. But, I, you know, I wasn't ready because, oh, this is not going to happen to me and I'm too young and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I got clean. Oh, I didn't. I got clean. That was all I did. I just put down the drugs. And I did what they told me to do. However, recovery was a different whole process for me. You know, my first 10 years in recovery, and somebody in this meeting happens to know me during that time, who's known me for all my recovery. You know, I was ripping and running, and, you know, I was, I substituted service, and, I, you know, I did all the things they told me to do. You know, I went to meetings, I got a sponsor, I worked steps. I got clean in Florida, and the fellowship when I got clean was very spread out in the state. And there was a big thing between, it was the us and them, which was California and the state of Florida. You know, and it was very, I don't know. What I didn't realize was at this time when I got clean was, you know, NA was not just in California and Florida. It wasn't. However, that's the way it felt. It felt like to me, like California was the king of everything. And, you know, what do we know? So I can tell you that. I know that Jay's laughing, that out of spite, you know, I personally did some things, you know, or I didn't like the way you looked at me in a meeting. I get a coffee pot and start a new meeting. We didn't like the literature. So we wrote, I would go and write literature. And it was, for me, it was really exciting because I felt a part of something. I felt a part of something bigger than myself. So like my first 10 years, that's what it was like. It was, I was ripping and running. I just wasn't using chemicals and I was trying to change, but you know, coffee and spades games and conventions and getting in the car and going to wherever somebody was having a dance, we'd pile in the car and drive. Asphalt recovery is what we called it. I can tell you that there was a willingness that I had to do anything I could do for the fellowship, because I knew somewhere deep inside of me that it was the last stop. It was the last house on the block, the last door. The other thing is that there's people in my family, namely my mother and my sister, who have more time than I do in a fellowship. So when I got clean and made a decision to only go to Narcotics Anonymous, it was a big thing because nobody stays clean in Narcotics Anonymous and you're not going to stay sober and all this stuff. I can tell you that spite is a very powerful thing. and that I am glad that at that time I was spiteful, and I'm glad that there was a bunch of people around me that were spiteful, because out of that spite, we all stayed clean and the fellowship grew. And along the way, we learned some spiritual principles. Well, I did anyway. Oh, I'll take all their inventories. They did too. I can tell you that. Okay, if you never heard me share, I get emotional. Nothing wrong with it. But I say to myself all the time when I feel it coming. I was talking to somebody this morning and I was like, I grew up here. I don't know how else to say it. I grew up in a fellowship. I mean, I actually grew up like, I got clean when I stayed clean when I was 20. And so all those things that you're supposed to know or do or whatever, I did here. I learned here. I made mistakes here. I learned how to be a friend here. I learned how to be honest here. I just learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. I still learn. Every day I learn. And I learn because of the fellowship. And I learn because I have a willingness, which some days I don't want to have it. Some days I'm into, I just want to slide today. I don't want to do a meeting. I don't want to write a step. And I can tell you this, that 40 years later, I got a sponsor. I talked to her. I talked to my sponsor probably once or twice a week. My sponsor happens to be one of my really good friends that I met her when I had 6 months clean. And we were friends for a very long time before she became my actual term sponsor. I had other sponsors. And, I still work with a sponsor and I still go to meetings and I still sponsor people and I still do service. Probably not the service I used to do, but I still do service. The difference is I learned to do service inside and outside of the fellowship. I want to be like, even though I can't see any of you all, and I'm sitting in my house in Vermont, and for those of you that I was talking to earlier, yeah, I think it's 2 or 3 Celsius here. So I'll translate it. And I'm looking at the snow on the ground, and never in 100 million years did I think I'd be here. Never, ever. This was not even part of my wildest dream because I probably didn't have any too many dreams. I can also tell you that recovery and aging and recovery is not for the faint of heart. I was talking to a group of people that are in long-term recovery who are have aged in the program. And I thought, I like that in times of illness, but I think we need to write our own book about, what happens when you get old in recovery. The things that they don't tell you. Like my body is 60 and my head thinks I'm 25. Like nobody ever told me that was going to happen. Nobody told me that I was going to have illnesses or that, that life was going to continue to show up and change. And, I was still going to feel my feelings and I was still going to go through life on life's terms. The other part of that is because I never thought I was going to see past 25. I never thought I was going to see 25. I was going to be a rock star drug addict and I was going to die a rock star drug addict. What I can also say is this. I am so grateful that as the fellowship has grown and expanded and all the politics of the fellowship and online meetings and off on Facebook and and COVID and all the stuff that's happened in the last probably 5 years, I can tell you that I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful that there are meetings that are celebrating 11 years that are online and only online. And I really probably need to share about this particular meeting because this was the deal. I was growing up. I was divorced. I got two kids. I'm living with my brother in Florida. I don't know. I'm working. I'm raising kids. We're really raising kids because he really helped me do that because it takes a tribe. I'm in school. I don't know why I signed up for that, to get a bachelor's degree. And to actually, between working and kids and going to meetings, face-to-face meetings, sometimes was harder than not. And so there was a time in my life that this particular meeting was my meeting. I mean, it was my meeting. It was Saturday for us, Saturday afternoon for us. I could stop doing my homework online. I could go to a meeting. I could know that I'm not alone. I could hear my friend Steve. I could get to know people in this meeting that I don't necessarily see, but that I instantly became connected to, that, really helped me. The other thing is that I also know that there's people in this meeting that are no longer here. And that's the part that I hate sometimes still, the disease of addiction and what it does to us. Because I get attached. I get attached to people. And when they choose not to stay, or they, whatever happens, or they choose not to stay, they end up 6 feet under, they end up in a prison. I never hear about them or from them. It makes me really sad. And then what happens is I instantly become very grateful. And I become grateful because number one is it's not me. Number two is that I got to see them and experience them when they were clean. And if it's just for a little bit or a little time, I'm grateful for that. Because whether people know it or not, they imprint me. I share a memory. It's real simple. Keep doing the things that I was taught to do, whether I want to do them or not. Now, there was some time that I was like, oh, I got time now, so I'm gonna watch football. Not European football, American football on Monday night. I don't need to go to a meeting. I'm doing okay. There was times in my life that I also wanted to slide. That's the best way I could say it. And I can't say normal, because for me, that's sitting on a washing machine or a dryer. There's no such thing as normal for a human being, let alone for an addict. So there were times in my recovery that I just, I knew I was an addict. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I really don't want to do it. I can tell you that for me, we either keep on moving forward or we slowly start to move backwards. Now, I'm also a member of the No Matter What Club. So I'm not going to use No Matter What. I don't care what anybody says. But, my thinking and my behavior is a whole different story, because I have learned that I can do all the things. I can be full blown in my disease of addiction without ever putting a chemical in my body. I also know that is ugly and it is painful, and that the fellowship has given me a choice. It talks about in our literature, the only thing that they say is you're going to, have whatever from active addiction. I'm not a really good literature quoter either. I should be, but I'm not. But I also know that, once that is, the obsession and compulsion to use is lifted, that everything becomes open. The possibilities become open, and that I get to have a choice, which I never had when I'm actively using. My drug said how jump, and I said how high, how often. In recovery, I've learned that I have been given the gift of freedom, and that's the freedom to choose. Now, I can also tell you that I don't get to choose this lesson. I'm going to be honest or not be honest. I don't get to choose that lesson. I get to choose. I'm going to be honest, and I can make it easy or hard for myself. So my concept of what is right for me is either, it's either right for me or it's not right for me. That's just for me. It doesn't, it could be right for you and not right for me. And that doesn't make you wrong. And that doesn't make me right. I've also learned about, I'm not in competition. You know, I've learned to allow people to have their own lives, their own choices, and their own consequences and rewards. And I learned that from my children, who are young adults now, who are, you know, having relationships and going to Spain and going to Arkansas and, oh, you know, they're living their lives, their 20s. I also have learned that most of my life has been of service to others. And so I'm learning how to be of service to myself. And it's not about self-care. It's about service to myself. Okay, so self-care is, oh, I need to sleep 8 hours. Well, I like sleeping, so it doesn't bother me. Self-service is, my doctor says that I'm supposed to exercise every day. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I don't want to do it. Kicking and screaming like a two-year-old, if you guys can't hear my two-year-old in my voice right now. So to be of service to myself means, in spite of how I feel about anything, I get up and do it. I get up and do my exercise. I do the things that I don't want to necessarily do because the end result is I get to feel good. And I can tell you this, that I'm still not comfortable with that. I'm still not comfortable with my, okay, I'm going to try to put this in a different way. And I don't, but it's important. Okay, so when I go on 12-step calls or I see the light come on in some newcomer's eyes or a person's eyes in general, I get this overwhelming, oh my gosh, you know what I'm saying? Because I can see it in someone else. I never see it in myself. I never know that I'm changing because I never see it in myself, but I see it in other people around me. So my thing is if they can change, I can change. So when I am of service and I get that aha moment or that warm fuzzy or that feel good for helping somebody else, I do not know how to do that for myself. I'm still learning how to do that. And I'm still learning how to be okay with it. Which is pretty interesting, to say the least. I was thinking about, I still do steps. I just finished. I'm just getting finished the 12th step in January. I'm getting ready to start another round of steps. And for the last probably 4 or 5 years, I've been in a step group every year. And every month I work on a step, writing, flat book, other ways of doing it, what I need to work on now, and that I think everybody needs to learn how to work steps on the whole planet. I think that we'd be much nicer to each other, but nobody said it was going to be easy. So when it hasn't been easy, you know, I was talking to somebody before the meeting, this particular meeting, and was like, you know, higher power's in charge, and I can go kicking and screaming and throw down, or I can just go with the flow the best of my ability because I'm an evidence gatherer. And so since I came in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, my evidence has been no matter what happens in my life, as long as I don't pick up and I ask for help, it is all going to be okay. I can also tell you that actually picking up has not been an option in my life for a very long time. But plotting and planning and how I'm going to dispose of the body is, oh God, that's, listen, what goes on in my mind still is pretty dangerous. I've also learned that no matter what it is, no matter how big or how small, all I got to do is reach out. There is somebody who's been through it, going through it, understands it, supports it. Like I have really come to terms with, even though I'm living where I'm living, and technically there's physically nobody here in the house, I am never alone, ever, ever. Between my higher power and technology, I am never alone. And that is huge, because there was a time that I couldn't stand being with me, let alone anybody else wanting to be with me, let alone anybody else picking up the phone to answer it for me, any of that. And that, that's a result of staying here. And that's a result of doing the work, staying clean, reaching out for help, and everything inside of me said no. And doing the steps and getting so gut-wrenching honest that it was painful. And then putting the baseball bats away and realizing first and foremost, I'm a human being. And I have the disease of addiction. I am not the disease. I identify as an addict first and foremost in the rooms, because if I forget that, everything else is gone. In the outside world, in my job, I just tell everybody I'm in long-term recovery. That's all I say to them. I don't say that I'm an addict. There's a whole bias that goes just with that word, even in the rooms, like the hierarchy of, who did what and all that kind of stuff. But I'm in long-term recovery, and that's probably the biggest gift that I've gotten, is that I can tell you that I can instantly go back to the last day I used and who I was. I mean, I was an animal. I was an animal that had two legs. And that's not who I am. That's who I was, but that's not who I am. I can also tell you that that person can come back in 32.6 seconds, probably less, if I'm not maintaining my center. And by my center means, am I grateful? Do I do my prayer and meditation? Do I reach out and help somebody? Am I of service? And other things like, did I eat today? And did I get enough sleep? Did I tell the people that I love them? Did I speak up for myself? There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes in with me being on my center, because I understand that the fellowship's giving me this gift that no matter what happens, if as long as I don't use it, it's all going to be okay. However, my head and my heart don't necessarily always know that. I think that when the creation or the thought of this particular meeting was floating around the ethers, and somebody was thinking about it, name was Steve, and all that whole and how where it is now today, I don't think that, and I could be wrong, that like somebody said, I'm going to do this meeting and 11, and it's going to be awesome and incredible and fabulous, and I don't think that's the way it works for us in the fellowship. I think that we do the work, we show up, we suit up, and then we turn over the results. Because I've also learned that when I put my claws into something, that I am not acting in the best interest of anyone. And that's one of the things that the fellowship's given me, is that I can be the best person I can be right here, right now, and that at this same time tomorrow is going to be an entirely different person. I've learned that it works. I learned that I have a reprieve. I've learned that steps have changed my life. I learned that being of service has not only helped me, help my community, help the fellowship as a whole, and probably help people I don't even know. I've learned that a friend of mine that I'm really concerned about used to say all the time, I might be the only basic text somebody ever reads. And when I first heard that, that was pretty profound. I mean, that was pretty profound because that's the absolute truth. Now, if somebody wants to ask me about how I did that, I have no problem sitting down, and I have no problem telling anybody at any time that I am in long-term recovery. And they say, what does that mean? I say, I'm in long-term recovery from the disease of addiction, and I go to Narcotics Anonymous. And if you'd like to go, or you know somebody you'd like to go to a meeting, I'd be happy to go with you. There was a time I couldn't do that, though, either, because I had this whole concept with anonymity, and that, you know, I might be the only base text somebody reads. And if people don't know I'm in long-term recovery, I'm not saying, I just say I'm a member. I don't represent or do any of that stuff. This is where I got what I got. And if you need help, I will be happy to help. Because somewhere somebody needs to know that there's hope. There's hope. And my hope is that, you know, tomorrow I'm going to suit up and show up, and I'm going to try to do the next right thing. I might not want to, but I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm going to do it as a result of being a member. I can't tell you how overwhelmed with gratitude I am for this amazing life I have, through all of it, the tears, the laughter, the screaming, the yelling, the hospital visits, the doctor's visits, wondering where the money's going to come from in a checking account. My God, people, we have checking accounts. Holy crap. You know, I'm a productive member of society. That's even like more shocking some days than anything else. You know, that my high cost problems are nothing. And it is a result of saying, hi, my name's Dawn and I'm an addict. I need some help. I can't do this anymore. And that as a result of all of it, that on a Saturday afternoon in a home that I own, in the middle of nowhere, it's not middle of nowhere, but it's pretty rural where I live, that I get to share my experience, strength, and hope, and that inside of me, I'm like, one, I have experience, strength, and hope to share. Two is, I'm really okay in my own skin. Three is, it's okay for me to express feelings. Four is, if you got something out of my share, wonderful, great. It wasn't me. I'm just a vessel. And five is, I'm still humbled. I'm still humbled by this amazing journey that Narcotics Anonymous has given me in this amazing life. I'm still in a state of awe of it. I just want to say thank you to Steve in our incredible journey. And Jay, my brother from another mother. Jay's the one I grew up with. Jay and I grew up in the fellowship. He's one of my right, you know, diehard, right, I don't know what you guys call it in Europe, but road dogs here. And then I have people that, you know, a 20-year-old and a 25-year-old met in 1987, and we grew up together in the fellowship. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. And I'm really grateful that you all are here. Because I still can't do this by myself. I can't recover by myself. Whether it's all a bunch of little squares with initials, or it's something face to face or a telephone. That if you want what we have to offer, we. And I'm so grateful to be a part of the we. And I think that's all I have to share. So thank you very much for letting me share. And I hope to be around in 11 more years when this group has 22 years. Thanks for letting me share.